Plenty of stories have arisen over the years about the origins of racial and sexual epithets. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg says most of them aren't true, but they bear insights into how we think about words.
The Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals will be ruling soon on a case involving a petition to cancel the trademark of the Washington Redskins on the grounds that the law forbids the registration of trademarks that are disparaging. Several years ago, I served pro bono as the linguistics expert for the group of Indians who brought that petition, and I wrote a report documenting the word's long history as an epithet, often a very nasty one. One thing you won't find in that report, though, is a story that you often hear nowadays about where redskin comes from. As a lot of people tell it, the word originally referred not to skin color, but to the bloody Indian scalps that white authorities paid bounties for. It's true that the origins of the word are lost in the 17th century, but as best I can tell, there's no historical record that connects the word redskin to the bounties for scalps, and in fact, nobody seems to have mentioned the connection until about a dozen years ago. So it's almost certain that the word was originally a reference to skin color. After all, people refer to Indians as the red man, too, and that couldn't have anything to do with scalps. Not that Indians are really red, any more than people of other races are really white, black, or yellow. But that Crayola theory of racial groupings runs very deep in our culture. And when kindergartners sit down at the play table, those are the crayons they reach for. In a way, that story about redskins seems no different from the other tall tales that people pass around about word origins, what the linguist Larry Horn calls etymologies. There's the story that posh began as an acronym for port out starboard home, the one that says that hooker came from a name of a Civil War general, or the one that says that son of a gun originally referred to children born on the gun deck of a ship. All plausible sounding, all wrong. You can find a whole collection of these tales in a very entertaining book by the etymologist Dave Wilton called Word Myths. Of course, most of these stories aren't really myths in the narrow sense of the term. They're more on the order of little scraps of lexical romance that make a nice filler for the Did You Know column in the Sunday newspaper. But the story about the origin of redskin is a myth in the deeper sense. It's a story that's meant to illuminate a social truth, as if to say that the history of violence toward Indians is buried in the very words that people use to talk about them. You see a lot of stories like that one nowadays, which attribute obscure and malignant origins to words relating to ethnic groups or sexual orientations. Look on the web, and you'll find hundreds of pages relating how faggot is derived from the bundle of sticks that the medievals used when they burned homosexuals at the stake. But in fact, faggot comes from an early 19th century word for a shrewish woman, which might derive from the image of something dry and brittle. And it wasn't until the beginning of the 20th century that people started to use the word for male homosexuals. Or take the story about how dyke was derived from the name of the British queen Boudicca, who led a revolt against the Romans in the first century, and whose name became a synonym for a threatening woman. Actually, the word only appeared in the 1930s, and most likely comes from a version of hermaphrodite. And there's no truth to the story that handicap refers to the idea that the disabled had to go begging cap in hand. The word actually derives from a way of leveling the stakes in an uneven wager, where people put a certain amount of forfeit money in a hat. And it's been used of horse races since the mid-18th century, but it's only in the past century or so that people have referred to disabled people as the handicapped. For that matter, the phrase rule of thumb didn't originate with a law that said a man couldn't beat his wife with a stick that was any thicker than his thumb. And there's no more truth to the stories you hear that attribute racist origins to expressions like picnic and the jig is up. I can understand why people find stories like these believable. Word origins can sometimes be pretty bizarre, and some words really did originate with ethnic or sexual slurs that are lost to memory now. Gyp comes from gypsy. And mollycoddle comes from an old use of molly to mean a homosexual. Even the ordinary word bad probably originated with an Anglo-Saxon disparagement for an effeminate man. But it doesn't really matter where any of these words come from. Since Plato's time, people have thought of words as carrying around their origins like original sin, as if some long-forgotten sense could still have the power to infect their meanings. But if redskin and the rest are ugly words today, it's not because they bear some hidden historical taint. It's because they conjure up ugly ideas that are still with us.
Jeff Nunberg is the author of Going Nuclear: Language, Politics, and Culture in Confrontational Times, just out in paperback.